I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and if any of the issues in today's episode sound like something you'd like to discuss with me, at the end of the show, I'll let you know how you can connect with me. We really appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule to listen today, and also to help others learn the tips that you hear on Smashing the Plateau. We'd be grateful if you'd share this episode with your colleagues and friends, because we want you and others like you to succeed in business and in life. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Emily Ann Peterson. Emily Ann spent 17 years with her cello. It was her second voice until she was diagnosed with a degenerative neurological hand tremor. Refusing to resign to fate and genetics, she expanded her skills to include the piano and solo songwriting. This act of neurological defiance broke through her creative glass ceiling and then swept her up in the expansive limits. Emily Ann's podcast, Bare Naked Bravery, features conversations with everyday heroes about the quiet successes and loud failures required to do the brave things for which we know and love them. Her mission is to inspire a global resonance and magnanimous community through the marriage of art and whole person development. Emily Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too.
So we were chatting a little bit before we started recording, and clearly there are various kinds of plateaus that we all encounter, and that there are also plateaus we reach following success. So you had a great career until something happened to you. And like with many people, sometimes plateaus and challenges are caused by external factors. So I wondered if we could start off by you talking a little bit about what you went through and how you overcame what seemed like a really, really terrible fate.
Yeah, one thing that I like talking about a lot is how fast I was driving down the highway to burnout before I got diagnosed. I was a full-time cello teacher, which meant I was essentially doing one-on-one meetings with at least 30 people every week, and giving them everything, every single meeting. And it was just really exhausting, something that I really loved doing and something that I still love to do. But my burnout exacerbated the symptoms of the tremor, and which caused me to, there was one day I was getting ready to teach a cello lesson. And up until that point, the tremor was only noticeable like when I was holding a fork or something like that. It was really pretty small. And there was this one day that I was warming up to prepare for a cello lesson, and I heard the tremor through my instrument. And after that lesson was over, I called my general practitioner and made an appointment. It was like, this is not good. This is now it's affecting my livelihood. And it was a really awful season. There was a lot of worse things could have happened, of course. But it was a slow dripping loss that ended up becoming a tidal wave, and that was really rough. But I think that the fact that, your question was about external forces or external constraints on your situation, and I think that's what bravery and courage and creativity have in common, is, this common ground of external constraints or internal constraints too.
Right. It sounds like in actuality, you had a little mixture.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, my body was telling me, hey, something's got to go here. something is not right, you know, on the external, my career was doing great. I had, you know, full corral of students and, was, you know, raising my rates and business was good. But it was not good for me and my genes, which my genes just happened to yell a little louder. Yeah, I think the bravery and courage and creativity that we all experience when we're faced with these constraints, you know, it very much depends on those constraints, creativity and courage and bravery. When we use our constraints as opposed to fight against them, that's when bravery and courage and brave and creativity happen. When we are able to use the constraints or use our fears to move through life. And it's a tough thing, but it can be pretty fun too.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about using both constraints and fears in the same thought. Because mm-hmm. I've had a lot of guests who've talked about overcoming fear and how fear often prevents us from taking that first step toward that first action step that is going to lead to some kind of change in mm-hmm. behavior and results. But they don't often talk about the power of constraints as well.
Yeah, I mean, my personality type is, you know, fear is merely a speed bump. It's not a full-on obstacle that I have to overcome. It makes me send the email maybe one day later than I should. But constraints, realities, or like actual limitations, like budgetary restraints, you know, the fact that there's only so much time in a day, the fact that you only have so many employees, the fact that your industry just really doesn't want what you have to offer. Those are all constraints that we don't have a lot of control over, you know, at one point or another. And we can choose to use those constraints. You know, we can choose to use our budget wisely or become a good steward of our money and our employees and our resources. Or we can choose to not be good stewards of our constraints and fight against them all the time. But from personal experience, that's exhausting. So,
oh yeah, it's very exhausting. And with some of the constraints that you mentioned, there are ways to there are ways to have more resources, you know. So,
of course, even that is using those constraints, right?
Absolutely. So we can have more money available to invest
exactly.
in something. But you're right. If we're investing more, then we're using more of the money.
Exactly, thereby acknowledging that a limitation or constraint once existed.
Right, and money, we can have more money, but it's still finite.
It's exactly right?
There's not an infinite amount of money, and time for sure is very finite. We cannot make more time.
Exactly.
So, with that in mind, talk to me a little bit about how we can use the fact that we have these constraints to our benefit.
Well, it depends on the situation. Do you have a specific instance that we should?
Yeah, well, how do you use them to your benefit?
Well, I mean, okay, let's use time, for instance. I'm a solopreneur. I have a, you know, team of freelancers that I work with, but generally it's all on me, including my schedule and time and all of that. And so if we're going to use time as one of those constraints, one of the ways that I use my limitation of time is to set up a lot of automated things that happen in my calendar, in my emails, with my newsletter list, and my how I create a podcast episode, and everything that I do has a system. And that is one of the really big things that I have learned is if you have a system that works, then you don't have to do all the work for the system. the system will just work on its own, right? So I've learned that if you front load all of your investment of time to be efficient later on, that is often the best route to go, or it can be. And it also permits you a freedom later to change the system if you want. So you're not set in stone. Most of the time you're not set in stone, but it does just work for the time being in the best way that you can create.
Mm-hmm. Emily Ann, would you say that it's important to create systems for anything that has some constraints?
Ooh, that's a big question. I usually don't like generalizations just because of my personality type.
All right, let me ask it differently.
But I would tend to say yes. Yeah.
Because I never quite thought about it that way before, that I know how important systems are in business, particularly if you're trying to grow. It's really hard to do it when you don't have systems because there's nothing that you can scale.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But looking at it in the context of constraints, if you think about what it is that is presenting constraints to you, and then whenever you're confronted with something that has a constraint attached to it, thinking about how you'd create a system to deal with that constraint.
Yeah, and honestly, like, those systems you don't have to be coding your own app to deal with these systems. It can be as simple as, when I gain 5 pounds, I will start working out more. You know, like, that's a system. You have created a trigger and an activation of a new action or behavior. And those systems that you set up in place of all of that brain crazy that ends up happening if you don't have them there. Those boundaries that we have in our lives and in our relationships and in our creative lives and in our career lives, those boundaries exist to support us, not to limit us. And if you can choose to see your limitations and your boundaries as a supportive mechanism for your growth, then a lot of things can change. A lot of things. That's kind of big, lofty stuff to say, but it I have known it to be true in my own life and in other people's lives as well.
Yeah. What kinds of connections have you seen as a creative person? What kinds of connections have you seen between the creative skill or creative thinking and some of what it takes to get ahead in a business environment?
Yeah. So I think we'll use songwriting specifically, since that's what I'm doing a lot of these days. Oftentimes when I write a new song, I will start with a lyric palette. That's what I call a lyric palette, which is basically a collection of words and sounds and like phonetic sounds and phrases that I really like a lot. And I have a song seed list that I just keep around on my phone at all times. So anytime somebody says a really unique phrase or something, then I put it on that list. So I'm always like asking people, hold on a sec, I gotta write that word down. But that gives me that's a system that I've set up so that when I have in my calendar, oh great, now I get to write a song, or now I've blocked out this time to write a song, I have like, just, you can keep scrolling for days of just phrases and words and song ideas that I really like. So I don't have to do all the work when I sit down to write a song to like summon all of the strength within me. Like, what is it that my whole person wants to say today? You know, like, no, yesterday I wanted to say this. That's cool. Let's just start there. And I think that's a really great system, especially if you're a marketer, you have content you need to be constantly putting out. Having that cloud of content that you can reach into at all times is a really helpful thing.
Yeah. You know, leaders also go through the same thing with strategic thoughts, mm-hmm. right? Ideas come at random times, and mm-hmm. If you designate a specific time to that you set aside to do some strategic work, if you haven't collected those ideas in a place where you can access them when you have the time to actually focus on them, then all those random ideas end up getting lost.
It's true. It's so true. And it's so helpful to have that too. I cannot even, if I didn't have that list or the SongCloud or even when I have a song idea, I then sit down and make a lyric cloud before I do the song. So then that way, you know, the other day I wrote a song about from all of the native plants and animals and trees and of all the areas that I've lived in the United States. And I just had this massive text file of all of these words and beautiful plants, and I just picked the ones that I liked out of it. And that was a lot less work than getting to the end of a line in a lyric and going, oh, what's the word that I'm trying to look for here? I don't have to do all that angsty, overwhelming, you know, it must be perfect, it has to work right now, or else it's a lot of pressure if you don't do all that work ahead of time. So that's a really great tip that I love to share. Another one is doing all your research first. And that partly ties into this song that I just finished with the plants and animals. I did all the research before I started writing the song. And that way I knew which groups of plants and animals were from Georgia as opposed to Texas, as opposed to the Northwest, which is where I'm at right now. And I think I already mentioned a little bit of sticking to your format and sticking to a template. In the world of songwriting, you have, the verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, chorus, chorus. That's usually a typical pop song. But there are other types of templates and formats that make up another kind of song, in folk music or hymns or work songs. There are all these templates that already exist, that already work. And rather than recreating the wheel, sometimes it's really nice to just go, you know what? Dolly Parton wrote an awesome song. I'm going to see what I can do with that format. And also telling one story at a time is a really, really important part of songwriting. You can't tell everyone's story all at once or else no one will want to listen to it. And that ties directly to sending emails. You know, if you have an email to send to a colleague or, your board members, sending them a 20 points email about what they need to do or things, you know, that you guys need to talk about at your next meeting, that's overwhelming. I won't want to read that. But if somebody keeps their email to a quick 5 sentences with like a quick question at the end, you're going to get a response right away. And the same thing happens in songwriting as well. Telling one story at a time is important.
Right. So what do you do if you have 20 ideas? Right. If you're the business owner and you have 20 ideas that you know are going around in your head that you think have to have some kind of solution.
I think that's great that's a great reason why we have the what I call with my mentor clients, I call that a parking lot. So the parking lot can be in a text file or an email chain for later or whatever, or on Trello, which is what I use for my project management. But it's just a place for you to say, we will talk about this in the future. We're going to park this idea right here and it will get taken care of. And then your brain can let go of the urgency of like, but I have to tell you about this idea. And then you can just pick the one idea that you need to communicate. And there's also, you can take those 20 ideas and if they all have a common thread, that's your one story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it's just a little bit easier for whoever's reading or whoever's listening to you and you're public speaking or whatever, they are able to grasp onto like the one thing.
Right. Which is a very, very common challenge is to be way too cluttered and have too many activities going on. And most of what you're thinking about is not going to add much to your success. If anything, it'll detract. So yeah, coming up with the one thing is really important.
Exactly. And I see that all the time, especially in the grocery store. Every time I have to pick out, I'm the one of the few consumers in America who switches between Crest, Colgate, and other toothpastes. I know that's usually one of like a staple thing when everyone's a Colgate kid, you know? But every time I go into the grocery store aisle to pick out toothpaste, I get so overwhelmed by all of the choices. And I'm tempted to just grab whatever's the cheapest, which is probably why I vacillate between between brands. I just don't care, you know, which toothpaste I pick. So I'm just gonna pick the one with the cheapest price. And your consumers or your customers are gonna do the same thing with your messages, or your audiences are going to do the same thing with your speech that you have to give. You know, if you're saying everything all at once, they're either going to tune out and send a text message instead, or they're going to just pick the one that matters most to them. And you might as well communicate your message in a way where you have a little bit more of the control of how your message is received, rather than just a buffet of knowledge, you know?
So Emily Ann, given the challenges that you faced that we started talking about earlier, how did you come up with the ideas and the strategies to begin to apply your challenges to the way that you have created some rubrics to help other people?
Yeah. You know, I think, honestly, narcissism helped. That sounds terrible. But in order to get through the grieving of losing a version of my career and losing a group of colleagues that I really liked, and losing a group of customers that I really enjoyed, that grieving process really required me to go really deep inside of myself and understand, okay, what is it that I really want to do in the world? Why is it that I want to do that? And going deep like that, going really deep inside of myself, became the new fuel, or helped me find the answer that is now the new fuel for what I do and how I do it. So did that answer
your question? Yeah. And are there ways that you got some help to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I did an artist residency right after I got diagnosed. I was intended the artist residency to be a time where I recorded a new album for cello. But I ended up spending that time in the mountains just sulking creatively. I actually didn't touch the cello at all because it was too painful to pick up an instrument that I was, you know, facing not being able to play for much longer. Which is why I started writing songs, because I was like, no thanks to this option A. And then this other thing was in the room. I brought a keyboard with me, and just started noodling around on this other instrument. So I really find that retreats are very, very important to me and my personality type. I need to retreat in order to do the creation, and then I come out of hibernation and I have a beautiful butterfly display to show off. So that's just how my personality type works.
So retreat in order to advance.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of other things that I have a really great community of people, and I think that reaching out to your community is a very, very important element for busting through that next thing that you're trying to accomplish. Oftentimes that having a smaller feedback loop amongst your colleagues or amongst your customers or with friends and family, that small feedback loop really helps you to, you know, adjust your trajectory so that you can attain the goals that you want to reach, you know?
Why do you think the feedback loop from a community or from others is so helpful?
Well, I mean, if you're applying it to business, and career-related things, you don't want to retreat for 6 months to create something that nobody wants. So having a small feedback loop with your customer base is really important, especially if you're in the product creation process. You know, you want to be talking to your customers and asking them, hey, is this actually helpful for your life? Is this actually a problem that you have? Oh, you don't have that problem? Oh, you actually want a blue thing and not a pink thing. Oh, okay, we'll make a blue thing, you know? And those, oftentimes those adjustments that you make, be it in relationship, business, or career, those small adjustments from a smaller feedback loop can really make a big, huge difference in whether you succeed or not.
Mm-hmm. Who else have you seen who has been really successful at smashing a plateau?
That is a really good question. There are a lot of people. I mean, on my podcast, Bare Naked Bravery, every week I talk with somebody new who I admire for one reason or another. You know, one thing I've learned through doing this podcast is that a lot of times people who are being brave don't often think of themselves as brave. Especially in the moment of bravery, especially in the moment of question. You know, one of my friends is Naomi Washira, and she's a singer-songwriter she's based in the U.S., but she's from Kenya. And she has a really fantastic story. She's now a U.S. citizen and has a daughter and a wonderful family still in Kenya. But she's based here, and I think that is she displays the bravery that I admire on a daily basis. She does that, and I'm proud to call her a friend.
And can you just tell us a little bit about what she's done? What?
Sure. She moved to the States when she was 18, which, you know, that's pretty big in and of itself. She has, you know, she's an African American single mom and a singer songwriter. And all of those are just really overwhelming minorities and have a lot of baggage attached to them, especially in our culture. And the fact that she keeps going and the fact that she is where she is in her career is a really huge testament to me being a white female, unmarried, childless entrepreneur. I, you know, the world is my oyster and the world is her oyster too. And she proves it on a daily basis. And I think that's really admirable.
A great example. So Emily Ann, I wonder if we could come full circle and come back and talk a little bit about what you're doing now. And in particular, We spent some time talking a little bit about how your creative and performing background has helped you create a framework or a template for helping people in fields other than the creative fields. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you're doing in your work and maybe you could summarize how some of these frameworks can be helpful for people.
Sure. One of the things that I'm really excited about upcoming here in the new year is, you know, I'm doing a big campaign, that sounds really cold. But I'm really excited about, I really am excited about offering mentorship, creative mentorship to not just creatives, but to other business owners, to other career people, and to other, you know, authors or moms or, you know, just people trying to be creative or do something big in their life. There's a lot to be learned from other people about bravery, and the framework that I have for mentoring the people that I end up mentoring is based off of other people's experiences. So it's a lot of experiential. It's very much a unique solution that you end up with when you are faced with these constraints. But you have a lot to learn from a wide variety of people with a wide variety of experience and expertise. And I think that's a really cool part of mentorship, that especially creative mentorship, like I offer.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And I think people who have a creative or performing background have a lot of skills and techniques that can be offered in a business context. I've seen it over and over again with people who come out of theater background or...
Our job as artists is to connect dots and mm-hmm. present the data that we see in a unique, consolidated message. And that is something that businesses really, really are like craving.
Yeah, they struggle with it all the time.
It's true. So the more you can reach out to artists and creative types, they really have a ton to offer our society. And I think that's something that's unique that's happening in the music industry right now. I have some friends that are really like scared of the state of the music industry, but I'm stoked about it. I like fling wide the gates. It's going to be awesome when businesses and our culture and society recognize that we actually do have all of these connect the dot skills that other people really need, not just want and think is pretty, but they actually really need it.
Very much so. So with that in mind, how can listeners learn more about you, what you're up to, and follow you?
Sure. My website is emilyannpeterson.com. And if you're curious about how to spell that, then you can also go to barenakedbravery.com. It'll take you to the same place. And all my contact information is there. I'm also on Instagram too, so you can send me a DM if you're on Instagram. You can do that too.
Sounds great. Well, Emilyann, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really interesting discussion about your own journey, creativity, and how the skills that you learn as a creative artist and performer can be applied to help you succeed in business and in life.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, really great discussion. So thanks for joining us. My guest today has been Emilyann Peterson, teaching artist, singer, songwriter, author, and host of the podcast Bare Naked Bravery. Thanks again, Emilyann, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.